in any product. I don't care what it is. It's like selling water to thirsty people is much better than somebody that just drank 2 gallons of water, right? And I feel like sometimes we're trying to create stuff out of thin air instead of just working with the people that actually want our service. And that's what I've created with Mom's House.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check. Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Online Hustlers Podcast, where we cover REI marketing and conversion. And everyone that is coming back as a listener, if you like other episodes, it just takes a minute where you give us a review and you tell us how much you like the other episodes or how much you're enjoying this content as we bring in guests and better guests every single time. Today, I have a special guest. And because of that, I want you to take 1 minute. It just takes 1 minute. And give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And that will help the algorithm and bringing in more people to see exactly how this is going to be bringing so much value in the real estate investing game. So today, this special episode, his name is Philip Vincent. And he shared with me right before we start this that he loves the fact that we are called the REI marketing and conversion. And because it's all about that. And I'm going to bring him here today because he has a specific niche that I want you guys to get familiar with, where he's made a lot of money, hundreds of deals per year that he's doing, and he's helping a lot of people. Now he also teaches this as well, but he continuously just helps homeowners in this specific industry and in this economy. So what's going on, Philip?
Hi, thank you for having me on today. I'm excited to be on your podcast.
Thanks, man. I told everyone that you love the fact that it's marketing on conversion episodes. And can you share with me why you share that thought? And obviously, who is Philip Vincent? I'd love to know, for people to know exactly why are we listening to this guy who has a company called the Mom's House. So just if you can tell me more, people would love that.
Well, sure, guys. I'm Philip Vincent. I've been in this real estate business for 24 years, and I found my niche in 2011. So for the past almost 12 years now, I've been working in senior living. And I want to get to that. And we're going to talk about this blue ocean that I'm in. A lot of us were in marketing. Why I love marketing and conversion, the name of your podcast here, is that we all got into real estate to be home buyers, right? Our goal is to buy houses or make money from this industry. And we realized really quickly we're actually in the marketing business. And how we market ourselves, there's 100 ways to do it. We have to pick our lane. The successful people I've seen out there usually have a couple that work really well. They go deep on a couple and they don't go really wide on 100 of them, right? You can do 100 things to make your phone ring, but I suggest being good at a few of them. And so today my niche is senior living. And not, guys, I'm not talking about taking a house and turning it into a senior living community, like a small RAL, or they call them residential assisted living. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if the two of us are brothers and we find out right now in this moment, we get a text on our phone that our mother has fell down again. And this time she's going to have hip surgery. And this time she has to move into 24-hour care. Immediately, you and I as brothers go into a scramble of where will mom get the best care? Followed up very quickly with how the heck are we going to pay for this? And what are we going to do with Mom's House, the name of my company, Mom's House? What are we going to do with Mom's House? And what are we going to do with all this stuff? And so I will take the Pepsi Challenge. You're probably too young to know what that means. But back in the 80s, Pepsi challenged Coca-Cola to a taste test of who had the best. I'm telling you guys right now, these are the best leads. And I want to talk about what the nature is. You know, you guys are a marketing podcast. There's leads. And then there's good leads and then there's bad leads. But what is the nature of a good lead in your mind? What makes a lead good?
Well, first of all, that really wants to talk to you and solve a problem, and you're just going to be the one that will navigate the solution. So it has the intention of like doing business with you and want to have a conversation. I think that's the number one thing.
I agree. Number one, you just said it best. It's motivation. And I've noticed it's really hard to put my motivation on them. They either have motivation or they don't. You can't push people to have motivation, but you can pull them along the journey if they're already on the journey. So things like divorce, right? People get divorced and now they might need to sell the house. But when mom moves into senior living, guys, they sell the house 100% of the time. The motivation's from the doctor saying mom has to move. I don't have to convince them of motivation. They are heavily, heavily motivated. That's reason number one why these are the best leads. What else? What else makes a good lead in your mind?
They're willing to work out on a specific prize or a win-win for both, and they understand that also. And the investor needs to make money, but at the same time, it's kind of like a two-way street, right? Like someone that is willing to work out the entire transaction part.
Yep. So that's reason number three. I've got like eight or nine reasons why these are the best lead, but you just named number three. As investors, we're looking for houses that we can add value to. If the house was 100% in perfect shape, the investor world probably doesn't get to buy that house because they would just sell it retail or some other option. And what you just said is we're looking for people that can negotiate with us to look for that win-win. What do they have to be able to do that? Normally, it's the word equity. They need to have equity. 90% of the time, seniors moving in, 90% they own the house outright. So that they have all the equity. What they're trading is, they don't want to rehab the house. They're trading that convenience to sell it to me or you. They're trading that convenience for not having to go do the hard part of getting that house cleaned out, rehabbed, and on the market. So yes, exactly right. That's what these people are doing. It's like they need the cash out of the house to pay for care, but they don't want to go through the steps it takes to get it retail ready, especially in today's changing market.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So you want me to keep going? You want me to go through them? Why?
I guess the other one would be that it doesn't cost me too much to actually generate that specific lead, and it's not too pricey, right? It actually gets me a return. That makes sense.
What if I told you that the best leads in this business, reason number six, is that these leads are free?
If you know
who to build the relationship with. The best leads in our business are actually free if you know who to build the relationship with. And what I teach is, not only who they are, their job title, but where to find them, what to say. And a really big one, guys, is what not to say. I'm going to be very blunt with you guys right now. The investor word, that I word, we love it. We say it all the time. We're investors. It's on our Facebook page. It's everywhere. But in senior living, you have to have this word called empathy. You have to be empathetic. And when you say, if you go into a senior living community tomorrow and say you're an investor, all they're going to hear is, all they're going to hear is, oh, shark's here. You know what I mean? And so you can't do it that way. And you have to think about how you present yourself to the world. And so I teach people on what not to be just as much as what I need you to be. And I need people to lead with the heart. For some of us listening right now, the empathy or that the transactional nature of just it's bricks and sticks and here's my offer and move to the next one. You're going to make money in real estate, but you're not going to do that with mom's house. You have to lead with love. We're in the hugs and kisses business. In a time when these families are going through some crap, it's one of the hardest times of their life, and it's no time for shenanigans. It's time to surround them with solutions. And if you can do that well, you'll buy a ton of houses just like I do.
Love that. I'm curious about number two. I think I skipped number two.
Well, yeah, we're right now. Number one is motivation. Number two, it's equity. They own the house outright 90% of the time, they just own it outright. Number three, it's a house I can add value to. Even if it's clean, it's what I call lovingly grandma clean, where, you know, she's got the new hot water heater, she got the new roof, but the paneling's in the wrong spot, the carpet's the wrong, you know, she's been living in this house for so long that she got her new kitchen in 1991 because they moved in 1972. She got her new kitchen in 1991. Now that kitchen has to be rehabbed as well because it's also dated. That's the third reason. It's a house we can add value to as investors. The fourth reason is there's less competition. Most of the time I'm not competing against anyone, no competition. And sometimes I compete against a real estate agent, but hardly ever is it me versus 10 other investors, like all the other types of market. Guys, I've spent millions of dollars on marketing. I've been to the cattle calls where every investor in town, I know them all, right? I go into town and there's 9 other guys I know who are also doing direct mail. They're also doing pay-per-click. Like we're spent all this money only to compete with each other. Number 4 is there's no competition. The 5th one I think is the most important. A warm referral from the right person in senior living, that transfer of trust to me, you can be halfway incompetent and buy a lot of houses when that warm transfer of trust happens. Because when the attorney says, call Philip, he's the most trusted guy in town. Guys, half the battle of being liked is over. The attorney said to call this guy. He must be the one that's going to fix the problem. The 6th reason, we already brought that up, these leads are free. And then the 7th one is this works in any economy. In fact, in a down economy, our value prop is even better. So right now, things are looking up for us, even though the market's kind of going down. The 8th reason is this F word. We all know the F word, not that one, but fulfillment. I don't hear anybody talking about fulfillment in real estate. I don't know any bandit sign guys or cold callers or people that do text message blasting that talk about the word fulfillment. I have a fulfilling job to where I love to help families. I see the weight come off of their shoulders and I get to help people. It's really the American dream is to help a lot and to make a lot. And that's what I've got. It's what I've been grateful enough to do for the past 10 plus years. And I'm excited to share it with you guys.
Love that. Now, if we were to go back, I know you said you started this niche around 2011, but you've been in real estate for like over 25 years.
Yeah, 24 years since the year 2000. Man. Well, really like late 90s, like late 99 is probably when it really started, when I started building houses.
Wow, man, that's crazy. I was in diapers.
Exactly. Right. I've seen lots of ups and downs in this business.
And by you being able to remain in the real estate niche, have you had any like shiny objects along the way that kind of like distracted you or from real estate?
Only every single day, guys. Every single day I'm distracted by shiny objects, right? My wife, you know, for me, I'm a high achiever. So my half ass gets a lot done. My wife's like, what happens if you put your whole ass, your whole efforts into this one thing? And that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years, building this national company called Mom's House, is because the need is great. We need a bigger boat. We need more people to help us with this. Guys, right now we're procuring about 30,000 families a month are coming through our system, and we don't have the ability to get to all of them to help them with this problem. That's how big this is. People are always like, Philip, what a great little niche you have there. And I'm like, you just don't understand the numbers yet. When they say little niche, they don't understand that this is actually the majority of sellers. Guys, anyone listening that does real estate, tell me about your last 5 sellers. Were they 28 years old or were they 82 years old? And when you really think about it, you're like, oh crap, I think I've been working these already. I think I've already been doing this, right? But then have we built a system around getting those to come to you on a conveyor belt, like an endless supply of leads? And I want everybody to hear this. I've been doing this for 10 plus years in senior living. I was ahead of my time. The wave is happening right now. The next 15 years, you guys can look it up. It's called the Silver Tsunami. It's happening right now. We have 15 years. There's over 21 million boomers and their parents are going to be selling their houses over the next 15 years. And that $10 trillion in real estate that they own, a wise man once told me, you're going to work in senior living whether you want to or not, so you might as well embrace it. And I'm being honest, guys, this is where real estate's coming from. These are the people who are selling us the houses, is the senior, and you need to know how to work with their adult children and the senior themselves.
Yeah. When obviously you've made a lot of money by helping a lot of people too, but you've made a lot of money in these deals, in this specific niche. And I want to understand, like, when you were like back in 2011, what shift happened in your mind? Be like, seems like whenever people want to go to a niche, it's because they understand, first of all, focus. They understand that attention needs to go to a place that if you go all in into that, you create a brand, you create an authority, you become an authority in specific things. But I just want to know exactly what went through your mind and what exactly was happening down there when you went all into Mom's House and creating Mom's House?
Great question. In 2011, I was looking at all the direct response marketing we were doing. We were spending $20,000 or $30,000 a month on pay-per-click, on direct mail, on bandit signs, on radio, TV, you know, all the things you can spend money on, we were. And we were challenged with, hey, for every deal that we get done via direct response, can we also go out and get one deal done via relationships? So most of the other acquisition guys on our team, what did they do? They'd go get relationships with real estate agents and other wholesalers. And guys, that is a good way to get deals done, is building relationships with real estate agents and other wholesalers. But what's the problem with those two people, lovingly? They're in our business. They're in real estate. They are real estate people. And if you work with a wholesaler for long enough, they're going to realize that you're just selling it to the next buyer. They're going to figure out how to do that on their own if they're smart, and they're going to cut you out, whether it's 1 year or 2 years down the line. Same way with real estate agents. Do you think you're the only investor they're talking to? Come on, of course not. So it's hard to keep their attention for very long. It's hard to get all of their deals. They're never going to bring you all of their deals. The opposite is true in senior living. Nobody that's an executive director at a senior living community is trying to also be a wholesaler, right? Yeah. They're staying in their lane. I'm staying in my lane. Philip's the guy that fixes the real estate issue. I'm going to be so just blunt with you guys. Senior living has a problem. Let me simplify it for you very easily in an analogy we can all understand. Senior living is like a car dealership that doesn't buy the trade-in. They sell housing, but they don't buy the housing back. They don't even help with the housing. In fact, they push them away. They said, go talk to a real estate agent. When you figure that out, please come back and see us. They spend millions of dollars only to push their customer right back out the door. And Mom's House is changing that at a national level. I heard somebody say the other day about, because we're in the CRMs of senior living, we are now part of the senior living sales process. If you guys could take any advice from what I'm talking, I know you can tell I'm passionate. If you can take any advice about what I'm saying right now, is dream bigger than you are right now. Because my life right now it's a little bit absurd as to how big this is getting because of which really started out of laziness. It started out of laziness in 2011. Why? Because I hated working crappy leads. We all hate working crappy leads. I wanted sellers that wanted my product. That's a fundamental switch. If you can just only work with people that want your service in any product, I don't care what it is. It's like selling water to thirsty people is much better than somebody that just drank 2 gallons of water, right? And I feel like sometimes we're trying to create stuff out of thin air instead of just working with the people that actually want our service. And that's what I've created with Mom's House.
Yeah. And how, what has been that domino effect that you created so far? Like, so 2011, you were doing all these marketing channels that were now bringing the leads that you really want. And then you started understanding that you could add tremendous value to senior living, to that niche, to that specific people. So what were your first steps that you did down there? Like, you created relationships, you run TV ads, radio ads,
No, it was worse than that. I walked in the front door and I said everything wrong. So forgive me for this next date and everyone. I'm telling you out of the gate, this is what I did, but don't ever do this. I walked in the front door of the senior living community. I just walked in with my big old personality. Hey, I'm Philip, and I buy houses from older people that are moving into nursing homes, and I'm an investor. In that sentence, I said at least three things that you should never, ever say. First of all, you should never just walk in the front door. That's not how to do it. And all three things I said is wrong, wrong, and wrong. So my point is that I just did it with my bravado. And finally, because I had tenacity to keep coming back, I knew the two industries were like peanut butter and chocolate, like I had to marry them. But I did it wrong, guys. And my whole training is so people don't do it wrong, because if you show up as an investor, you show up as a real estate agent, you're not going to have the success. And I was stubborn enough to keep going. My whole entire playbook is what I teach about, don't have the pitfalls that I did. Start off with this, you know, you're on the 1 yard line instead of starting from the 20, from the kickoff, right? You're on the one, you just got to drive it in, because we've already got the system in place to go do this the right way.
Well, I just feel like when you came in and you said that, basically the defense walls went up, defense mechanism went up, and they just, I don't know, the Latina seniors will throw you the chancleta, be like, get the hell out of here.
Exactly. I think the American, the English will be like, get the hell out of here. I did it wrong. And that was the point. But I was stubborn enough to keep going, and people took pity on me. They pulled me to the side and they're like, hey, dummy, maybe don't say it like this. Maybe say it like, you know, we need you to be a little, because they saw my heart, right? They saw that I had a good intention, but most people can't fail as much as I do. I think we should all fail more often than we are and try bigger things. And I stuck with this when real estate has been my backbone for 20 years, but senior living has been like the best thing that's ever happened because of it, what senior living has taught me. Like, life is short and you better find something fulfilling to do. I'll give you a good example is, if anyone listening, if you hate that it's Sunday night, if you hate Sunday nights, you probably have the wrong life. And it's because if you're mad that you got to go to work tomorrow, you have the wrong life. I don't know about you. I know you're a jovial guy, a happy guy like me. I don't care if it's Monday or Saturday or Friday. I'm the same happy dude every day because I have a life that I love. And so I think that fulfillment. I'm being serious. I think number eight is probably one of the biggest ones. I have a fulfilling life. I get to help people. The byproduct of helping people is making a great living.
I love that, man. Now, I'm pretty sure with this passion that you carry and the willingness to make it work, you somehow created like not a script, but a framework on how to potentially like approach this senior living community and now do it right. Instead of saying, oh, I'm an investor, I want to take your money and I want to buy real estate. How'd you switch it up? Like, how'd you end up switching up that framework to approach these people?
By continuing to go and building scripts for not just one elevator speech for the whole thing, each individual persona in senior living is a different type of human and they have a different what's in it for them. Everyone in this life cares about what's in it for you. You care about what's in it for you. I care about what's in it for me. Senior living cares about what's in it for them. You have a different angle for, it's the same overall, right? That we're going to get to the house, but it's a different thing for each one. And so I teach scripting for each and every job title in senior living that matters.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I think it's very relatable to me because I went into one niche. I started this business in like fulfilling different people. Like we are a digital marketing agency, right? We're a digital marketing company. And as a digital marketer, the digital marketing agency, you can do lawyers, you can do gym owners, you can do real estate agents, you can do real estate investors, you can do dentists, anything. And at the beginning, a lot of people want to do a lot of different things. But what I ended up doing was I chose the right niche that I was passionate about that whenever I spoke with this individual, it was like, wow, I match. I connect with them. Like we truly can add value to each other. So I went in to work with real estate investors because when I was working with real estate agents, I hated the fact that they only took it as a job. And when I was working with gym owners or personal trainers, there was a lot of brokies and yes, a lot of great people and, you know, excited people to work it out, but still like there's a lot of brokies and
yeah, no money. Right. Exactly.
And so I went into one specific niche and I created frameworks and I created systems around that. So only real estate wholesalers and real estate investors, right? Obviously, we got flippers in there and a creative finance investors too. But it relates a lot to me because you are already working with them. Like you said, you mentioned that you're already working with them. Like, what would you say were the benefits of you going deeply into this specific focus, attention to senior living?
It's clear. My business comes to me. So when I lay on my pillow at night, I don't think about my next marketing ad spend because I don't do that anymore. My business comes to me. In fact, I just had a call. I just missed a call from one of my lead sources right now. They bring me deals, right? When I get a call, it's like, I've got another. They say, Phil, can you be there tomorrow and make an offer? Yes, I can, right? So I built a come to me business of warm referrals from people in senior living.
Love that. You know, a lot of people actually struggle in creating a referral system, like something that is long-term because we can do direct to client or right direct messaging to that specific prospect. And doing direct to sellers all great, but the moment that you turn off the button of cold calling or turn off the button of doing PPC or paid ads, the leads are going to stop coming in, right? There's no more business. Like the moment that your cold callers stop working, also there's no more wins. And so the long-term effect that you have created, and this is what's great. I mean, right now there's many ways to create that type of long-term effect. You created it with this type of relationships, right? So what would you say are, and I want to like add a little bit of the few things that I'm doing and that I've seen that works right now for the long-term effect, specifically yeah. Using social media and all of this kind of stuff. But I want to know from your end, what do you do or how do you continuously growing that system that is a long-term effect?
Yeah, I mean, we have to all pick our lane, whatever that lane might be. And you said it best, if you turned off your marketing tomorrow, if you stop doing direct mail tomorrow, whatever it might be, how long would it be before your phone stops ringing? And so where I think the world is going is we're all our own brands, whether you want to believe it or not, we're all our own content, we're our own brands. We can build our own following. I see people that I haven't seen in 6 months, 8 months, a year, and they go, Phil, I see all of your stuff on Facebook. Like people are watching and you have to pour into some lane and be out there networking and building relationships. Just do it with the right people And the more you farm, the more you plant those seeds, you'll turn around and look back at the farm and be like, oh, look at that harvest because you took action. And you said people have trouble building relationships. It's because they're lazy about it, right? They'll dump a bunch of cards on somebody and think they built a relationship. But think about any good relationship you've had. You spend time with them. You see them. You break bread together. You might share a drink with each other. You have similar interests. People work with who they know, like, and trust. And I think our social brand, and you're going to talk about that right now, is super important. So I would love to hear what you're doing with that.
Yeah. So one of the few things that we're doing is we're turning what is content that is long form, short form content as well, that will stick in people's head for a long period of time. Why? Because they're consuming it. So for example, things like this that allows people to kind of understand information, get knowledge, get educated, get to know other experiences, they're going to hear from me. And in a way, whenever you do that, you're taking real estate inside of their brain, inside of their head, right? Like, you're basically investing your time in order to get some real estate inside of their brain. So they'll remember you and they'll continuously think of, okay, real estate investing or real estate marketing would be Esteban, because I listen to him at least 30 minutes or 10 minutes every single day. And ultimately, that person is the one I want to go to or listen to or find that resource. So they're going to remember you over time because they have consumed your content, whether that's from a YouTube channel, whether that's social media, short form marketing, TikTok, Reels, IG, podcast, whatever it is that we're doing right now, right? And that is going to stay because now you're being trustworthy to them. Like, you now have created familiarity with them. Now they think they know you. So many times they talk to me as if like they already know me for a long period of time. And I'm like, wait a minute, who is this guy? Like,
you're famous. You're famous. That's what that is.
I'm not even famous.
to them you are, because you're the trustworthy person that puts out the content.
Exactly. So in a way, Mom's House is, that's what has created within the senior living world, right? So I'm just curious, what would be next and how would you take it to another level? Because I cannot wait until, like, you're in television, until you have a YouTube channel, and these people are just like literally like seeing these videos about how you're documenting the process or of helping these people out or things like that. Like, there should be somewhere, something there that absolutely you can take it in that route.
Yeah, you think about all the flipping TV shows. What we do would be the most ultimate flipping TV show. I just don't have time for it. I'm building this national company, right, that's got all these families coming through. We're trying to help find people to help us with these leads, these families, right? But as far as a TV show goes, this would be the best content ever. You have the emotion side. You have the responsible party. You have the old house that needs to be flipped. Like, there's so many good variables there. We do have a YouTube channel. It's under momshouse.com. And so we're trying to document that as best we can with testimonials of the families we find. It's also a very sensitive time, right? I take great pride in getting to buy a family's forever home. I buy their forever home for a living. That's what I do. That's tied up to way more than the house. It's the bricks. The bricks and sticks is one thing that I'm buying, but I'm buying their memories, right? This is where they grew up. This is where all their memories, good, bad, and different. This is where everything happened, is this home that they grew up in. And I take great pride in getting to do that with families.
I love that, man. So would you mind sharing? So are you going to be licensing this model?
That's a great question. We're more of a lead aggregation. And so we're looking for people that want to work with us with these 30,000 families that are coming through. And so, just if you want to find us on socials, we're everywhere. And I would love to reach out and talk to you to see if you're a good fit for this program. It's not for everyone. You have to lead with love first and the real estate is second. And for some people, we can only do it transactionally, right? And that's okay. You'll make $1 million another way. It's just, this is different. This hits the heart differently. And you have to think about more than just the house. I'm not saying you need to get into the stuff business. I don't want you to be like the American Picker show. You shouldn't get into the stuff, but you do have to be good at helping them with the stuff, because that's one of the biggest hurdles along with the house, is how do we get mom into senior living quicker?
So Okay. So what would be the model like of the lead aggregator? Like, what do you exactly mean by that?
We have leads nationwide. And for the people that go through our training, we work together on those leads.
Okay. And people would come in and then you help them kind of like go through, learn the system, learn the process and acquire, you know, acquire those properties.
Yep.
Through you, you're helping them kind of like a JV.
Well, I push the leads to them, right? They work the leads in their local market. So I can't be everywhere. I know the St. Louis market really well, but everywhere else, that's why I need people to help me with these other families.
Okay. That's awesome. Can you tell me one or two stories of a few huge fulfillment moments of situations that mom house had to go through, like with different of your customers? If I just want to know, like a few of the, because you mentioned fulfillment.
Yeah. You know, there's hundreds of them. One comes to mind was a lady that was an art teacher. It was a warm summer day where it rained in the afternoon, you know, like when it's warm outside of the day. Well, you're in Miami, that happens every day. It rains down there a lot, only a little bit in the afternoon, right? Everywhere in Florida. But this was in St. Louis. It was a warm day. It was raining. She just signed the contract. We jump in my car so we don't get rained on, and she starts crying, which is not, I mean, it does happen. It's emotional time. She's crying. She says, "Philip," she said, "I didn't realize how much effort and paperwork and all this time it was going to take for me to get," this was her dad, "me to get my dad into senior living." She goes, "I wish there could have been a book I could have read to help me with all this." She said, "I feel like I was on an island the whole time. There's no like checklist or any of those things." And so my partner, Ben, wrote a book called Paying for Long-Term Care. You can see it on Amazon, Ben Rao, Paying for Long-Term Care. It's a free give. It's not even a commercial about mom's house. It's really, truly helping that lady that was sitting in my car to go, "I didn't know I had this option. I have this option. I have this option," right? So we've written that book because there's tens of thousands of people a month going through this, and we need to help them more than we're doing today. The second one is a lady named Meredith. Meredith is a psychologist. And she brings me out to her mother's house. This was a 14-year-old duplex, basically a house, but they're attached, right? And it was only 14 years old. So it wasn't mom's forever home, but she had been there, you know, since it was new. It was 14 years old, which means, you know, no plumbing issues or no, usually roofs were still good, all those things. But this was a problem where they had cats. Grandmom had lots of cats, and we all know what cats do. They stink to high heaven, and this cats ran everywhere. And so mom was already out of the house. And it was only about a $17,000 rehab. I needed to do new paint, new carpet, you know, just surfaces. In our world, a little baby rehab, right? And so I give her my numbers. I say, "Hey, here's what I would do to get this thing retail ready." And she calls me back the next day and says, "Philip, my brothers are contractors. I gave them your rehab list. We're just going to go ahead and do it." I'm like, crap. Right? I'm like, okay. 6 months goes by. She calls me back and says, "Hey, Philip, it's Meredith." I said, "Hey, Meredith, how you doing?" She said, "Does your offer still stand?" And I said, "What's going on?" And she goes, "Well, you know, the 6 months ago, the last time, you know, I was there," she goes, "that was the last time I've been back to the house was when I was with you 6 months ago." So she had the intention of having her brother come out. I said, "Well, I thought your brothers were going to rehab it." She goes, "Yeah, they're contractors. They're really, really busy. They didn't get the time to go rehab it." So that house sat there for 6 months with a little tiny baby rehab in a family that knows how to rehab. They're freaking contractors. They should have did it on their own. And she goes, "I didn't even go back. I had good intentions, but it fell through." My point to this is that even families that know how to rehab a house, which most don't, even families that do know how to rehab sometimes sell to me because it's about the time and the convenience, and they want to trade equity for, you know, their equity for time. They don't want to do it or mess with it. I buy a lot of houses that way. This is what the industry wants. When you're dealing with mom moving into senior living, the last thing you want to do is go do a rehab on mom's house.
Okay. And are these this type of deals that you've been getting, like how long does it usually take for a person to get money, like the sales conversion cycle and things like that?
I mean, as few as 7 to 10 days, we can close. I mean, most typical deals are 30 days, like I would say normal, if you're ever going to put that word on something. But I really, the question I like to flip backwards and say to the seller, if you could take your magic wand out, what's the perfect day for you to close? And usually I can do the day that they want.
Okay. And is so you're saying whenever you're receiving leads that obviously are from referrals, there's not much resistance or let's say sales process per se, or you'd still have to be a great like sales individual in order to do this. I know that it comes from like this referral network, but it doesn't have to be like this because like someone from PPC has so many freaking competitors, right? Or cold callers that you have to do like a cold lead. You have to go through a sales process. How is that looking like for this type of sellers, this type of leads?
It's very emotional, right? And so you're going to deal with people in a different emotional state. Some families want to get it done like yesterday, and some families are going to be slow. But what we know is there's an intent there. We know they're going to have to sell it. Whether they are slow or fast, we know in the next, you know, 30, 60, 90, 180 days, in that window, they're going to be selling the house. And so for every family that wants to close in 10 days, there might be another one that needs 5 months. But it's usually because they're trying to get figured out what they're going to do with the stuff. And maybe, you know, and so guys, imagine right now, if you knew that direct mail, they were going to sell it in the next 90 days, how much more valuable would direct mail would be if you knew all your direct mail they had to sell in 90 days, right? So I'm not going to say it's an easy process. That'd be ludicrous to say it's easy. Of course not. You're dealing with humans going through an emotional time. You need to be trained on how to get to the root of the problem quicker, solve those issues, and then the promised land is getting to buy that house. So helping them with other things than the house is what we teach, because the house is like one checklist of 20 things. Like if you and I are brothers and mom has to move into senior living, we have no idea how much work it is to actually physically make that happen. The house is one piece, but we know it has to happen in that short window, which is why these families are so valuable to real estate.
Great. And then after making sure that you agree, after you agree with the seller, with the owner, and you go through, let's say, the fulfillment process, do you usually have to flip these properties? Do you wholesale this to other individuals? Like you take over this, and what's the exit strategy in here?
Great question. When you have a source of leads and families, we like to call them families, not leads. I know, but for this podcast, we call it leads. It's a little bit easier. When you have a flow of families coming to you, you get to pick what you want to do with the houses that you want. Then you should wholesale off the rest. Meaning if you like rentals in 90210, then buy the rentals when they come in and then wholesale off the rest. So there's a butt for every saddle, right? And so pick your lane, be good at what you do, and sell off the rest. That's the cool thing about having a lead flow. Now you get to be the front of it and push off what you don't want, but there's still money to be made that pays for your, you know, your life by wholesaling off the things that you don't want to buy. Because a lot of times investors will go, nope, that doesn't hit my buy box. Sorry. Even though there's money right there in front of you, you know, take that family in, help them, and then get them to the right person, right? We're problem solvers, and people sometimes can't get out of their own way to help themselves because they only think about themselves. And if you think about the others and trying to fix their problem, then that's a big, you need to be thinking about that first. If I fix their problems, the byproduct of that is I get to buy the house.
Okay. Now, talking about like being a brand, talking about understanding that you can niche down to something and become the authority of it, like very, very master it. For listeners out there that have thought about it, and maybe they do want to try the senior living niche, right? Maybe they do, but maybe they also, there is other niches out there. How would you choose a specific niche? On how would you choose to brand yourself around that niche? And what type of niches do you feel like there's opportunity as well in the real estate space?
How you brand yourself is really important. I think the key is not lying to yourself. A leopard can't change its spots for very long before it wears out. You can't act. You can't fake it till you make it, especially in senior living. Their job is to protect seniors. And so senior living is one niche. I think whatever you do, guys, whatever you decide on is stay the course. A direct mail buddy of mine told me that 90% of the time people do one direct mail drop, one, and quit. And do you think it's because they made so much money on that one campaign that they're retired now? Or do you think it's because it didn't work the way they thought? Right. And so whatever you're going to do, stay the course. And I think even with relationship building, you have to stay the course. And so, in my training that we do with Mom's House, we very much talk about your branding, that we give the world what we want to use against us, good or bad. This is how humans are. And so you want to brand yourself in a loving way, not as an investor, not as a real estate agent, but as a senior transition specialist. So that's our particular niche. I'm still a big believer in direct mail, pay-per-click, but you have to be great at follow-up with all of these guys. Follow-up is so, and there's technology now. When I first got started, I had to do it in my brain. There's follow-up, you know, the Ferrari is in the follow-up. So you have to have a follow-up campaign before you even get started. Prepare for success, but you need to have it where it follows up, because you'll be surprised how many deals you're leaving on the table if you don't have a follow-up system.
How do you currently follow up? And I guess one question would be, apart from the referral system that works in the long term, like what type of marketing channels you guys are using?
Right now, it's just the senior living. We use REI Blackbook as our CRM, and that does our follow-up for us. Both we do that with both the relationship side and our sellers. So we follow up with two different sets of people.
Oh, that's huge. Honestly, I cannot imagine if you were to turn on a paid marketing channel, where whether that's direct mail, TV ads. I would say that TV ads for you guys would hit in a way. I think it would be huge. I'm not sure.
I think it would be too. If we had the right call to action, it's all about that CTA.
Right. I mean, it cannot look like you said, like, do you try to, like, your first time that you went and walked into that senior living place, cannot look like you're trying to take advantage of them. It cannot look like you're just be there to be an investor, right? It has to be properly, like, the message has to be properly be there. Even radio, I would say radio, like, a lot of people will still look at radio. Have you tried any other, like, marketing channel like that?
We're growing into those things. When you're at a national level like we are, these are million-dollar decisions. And so it's not a little thing. So we're thinking about starting to test it in certain markets and then see growing it from there.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because when you say national, you mean that are you in every single state?
We are. There's not a lot going on in like Alaska and the Dakotas, but you know, there's over 30,000 families. You know, there's only about 3,000 counties in the whole nation. So with 30,000, we need coverage everywhere. We have more leads or more families than we know what to do with.
Wow. Well, that's pretty exciting, man. And I guess the last thing is the niches that are out there in real estate investing. So senior living obviously is one, but which others would you recommend for people to think of? Maybe I can become an expert on helping only on this specific niche, apart from senior living. Is there anything else?
Outside of what I do or what I teach? Let's just go back to like direct mail for a second. When you pull a direct mail list, we're all about list building, right? Why do people build a list that's over the age of 65, have lived there 20 years, and have equity? Why would you mail to that list?
Well, I would mail because I would expect that potentially they're going to be checking their mail because they are that type of, you know, avatar that checks mails. Like,
yes, so they are. They definitely are. But why over the age of 65, and why have equity, and why haven't for the people that have lived there at least 20 years?
Oh, because they'll be the appropriate person that has the right house, right?
It could be. You're still spraying and praying. I'm going to come back to senior living again, because the leads, even your best direct mail leads, guys, are usually senior living leads, because you were waiting. You keep spraying on them and praying on them, hoping they were going to go, today's the day. What I'm saying is cut all of that out and go right to the moment when they go, today's the day, I need to sell, right? And I think if you look at all real estate, guys, like divorces or when a baby's born, like people are making life changes. I don't want to, you know, first time home buyers is not my jam, but I don't want to work divorces because the people are angry, right? But when mom needs to move into senior living, everyone's trying to help mom. They need my service. I don't think there is any other niche I would work in, because even if you're working in direct mail, you're still trying to get back to the customer that I'm talking about.
Right.
Maybe I'm a homer. I know I'm trying to give you guys more here, but I'm just saying I've done it all, guys. I've done all the other ways, and these are the best leads that I've ever found.
Are you found easily? Like, if someone was to be Googling you,
yeah,
let's say a senior or someone that wants to help their mom, would they be easy to find you, like with a great SEO or something like that, or how's that?
It's even bigger than that. We have some pretty decent SEO. The word mom's house is a little familiar. It's a little vague, right? So it's hard to rank for those exact words. But what we've done is we've created relationships in the senior living CRMs. So there's about five dominant players in the senior living CRMs. We're part of their sales process. So we sit behind the curtain when the family comes in and they're trying to help mom. They push a button and then that family comes to us when they have a house they need to sell. And they only have it about 80% of the time. The other 20%, they already live in an apartment or they live with loved ones, but 80% of the time they have a house that they need to sell. And 90% of those times they own it outright. Like there's a reason why these are the best leads.
Nice. Awesome. How many people you got right now inside of the program that you have where you teach other real estate investors? I mean, you help them get.
Yeah. We're about 200 right now. And I probably need to be about 2000 to really cover the nation right now. That's how far away we are from having too much coverage.
And you think that first of all, by having 2000, now you're going to be able to obviously have the bandwidth to have all this lead that are coming in to be serviced, or
yes, exactly right.
What's the mission here?
That's exactly right. About 15 to 30 leads per person would be, you know, guys, all leads aren't created equal, right? You could get 300 Z buyer leads, but they're worthless. And so the point is that it's not the lead quantity. It's how many people actually need to sell, right? That's really the question we're all asking ourselves here. And so I'd rather have three leads a month. If I knew I could buy all three houses, I'd rather have that, right? And so with me, I feel like there's a bandwidth for any solopreneur out there that they can probably work 20 to 30 families a month. Because not all of them are going to pan out, right? It's just how it works. But, you know, can you make a phone call a day? One phone call a day. I think you could be a successful real estate investor if you had one person to talk to a day. That would be a part-time job that you could make hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Guys, I think everyone that's listening here, there's a huge opportunity that if you don't, even but for any reason, I mean, if you're looking to like niche down into something, and even if you're starting out, or even if you have grown and want to add like another niche to your specific marketing channels and to what you're doing. Looking into this with mom's house is something that you cannot miss out on. Because like he said, it's a great blue ocean. So how can people actually reach out to you, talk to you, or talk to your team? Or
yeah, go to momshouse.com.
That's it.
Momshouse.com. And if you want to, you can do /3day, the number 3day. But just, okay. If you want to explore momshouse.com, you can. But if you want to get right to us to see if you're a good fit, it's momshouse.com/3day, the number 3day.
And so let me ask you, what's happening 3 days? 3 day.
The 3 day, I invite you to come to my office where I'm sitting right now and train you on how to do this the right way.
Okay, sweet. Now
I know it's a lot. It's a whole industry to learn about, right? Every day you can read our Google reviews. Like our training is just mind blowing because it's such a big industry and it's just hiding in plain sight. And so I want to share it with you guys. So I can't wait to talk with you.
Awesome. So both the senior living communities, they know about you, Mom House, and also real estate investors know about Mom House. Okay.
That's right. The supply is the CRM and the demand is you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here in this podcast, man. It was pretty cool to get you in here. I'd love to have you in Miami in the next episode where we will dive into like a few nitty gritty stuff on the stuff that works for you real well. And it will be in person. Okay.
I can't wait to come to Miami. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for being here. And everyone that is listening to the podcast, remember to follow Philip Vincent and Mom's House. He got an Instagram. That's Philip Vincent, or you got Mom's House. Which one in Instagram is it?
Well, you know, I don't even check my own Instagram because I'm an old boomer at 44 years old. So I don't really do much with Instagram. I know we have one as a company, but if I would say
Mom's House.
I should know. I don't know my Instagram.
Just go to the momshouse.com/3day And also, if you like this episode, review this, give us a comment, subscribe as well. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys. Good to meet you.